Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Rick Ritma.
And I'm Ian Arnold, and we're both the hardworking mortgage guys with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And today we're very excited to have Shelley Walters here with us today. She's a tremendous real estate agent, one of the top in the industry. You've been in the business for quite some time, have you not?
We've been in the business since 2008, September, so very
perfect timing.
It was perfect timing. I didn't know any different.
Yeah. Now, how did you navigate that time?
I didn't know anything different, right? So it was really interesting. I would be in the office all the time. You know, in today's world, a lot of agents are sitting at home. I really don't agree with that. I think everybody should be in the office learning at all times. Even if you're, you know, been in the business for 10 years, you can still learn from each other. So I made sure I was in the office every day. I sat around what I called the water cooler, which was the printer of the office.
Okay.
And I would always hear agents coming in and telling me or telling each other the stories they were dealing with, what was happening in their closings, issues. And one of the interesting things that always stood out to me was a lot of the agents were going, my phone's not ringing. And, you know, in 2008, before that was 2005, 6, 7, and they were all just used to the phone ringing, kind of like our last 2 years, and saying, it's not ringing. What do I do? And I'm thinking, that just sounded weird to me because I'm going out and doing stuff and my phone's ringing.
Right.
But I was, my whole thing, my first year, I was Rookie of the Year for our office. I was then also Rookie of the Year for the Southeast region. All I did was what I thought I needed to do was meet people, talk to people, tell them what I was doing. I took a lot of classes, if it was online or within the office itself. I just kept learning, but I just kept talking to people and working towards it. And I think what happened is, and maybe it can correlate to the past 2 years, of just agents were so used to having everything come to them or more easily. I think it was the best time for me to start because I learned a lot that first year of how to get business.
Yeah, you just worked. That's the thing. We'd say that, you know, if the phone's not ringing, pick it up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. Make it ring on the other end, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Phone's not ringing. Pick it up. Not that hard, right?
Perfect. Yeah, like it.
Yeah, it's all about contacts. It's all about talking to people.
Right.
And it sounds like you did a phenomenal job. Now, are you from, I think you went to Purdue University, if I'm correct.
I did. I went to Purdue University. I grew up in Zionsville.
Oh, did you really? Wow.
I ended up graduating from North Central. So, yeah.
Whoa. We got three North Central graduates here?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we all graduated from North
Panthers,
Central.
Panthers. Go Panthers. Yeah. That's where I went to high school where I graduated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a good school.
It was.
It was a good school. But you grew up in Zionsville, so you must have moved from Zionsville to be in North Central's area.
Yeah, my freshman year, at the end of my freshman year, I moved to North Central. You talk about a huge difference. I went from a class of 90 to a class of 1,200, you know, overnight.
That's awesome. And then you went to Purdue.
I went to Purdue University with telecommunications and psychology. And boy, does that psychology degree help in real estate.
That sets you up, doesn't it?
It did.
That really helps you.
It is extremely helpful.
Yes. Yeah, because you... There's so many things you do as a real estate agent that aren't what people actually see. They see, oh, you sell a house, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many more things that you do.
Mm-hmm. It's a people business.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a tagline, let our family help your family, because we're a family business. But I always, our mission, our whole team's mission is to help people through real estate. And that's in so many avenues. It doesn't have to do with just the sale of the house at the end of the, you know, when you go to closing.
Right.
There's so much in between. And if you don't have feelings and caring for people, you look at it as a transaction. One of the things I really learned that was very interesting to me is I do not feel like real estate, selling houses or buying a house is always a happy time. And I really felt that I kind of started to learn that 70% of the time, it was not a happy time. It was a sad time. And you really have to be caring with the people you're working with. Slow down, hear and listen to what they're dealing with, what their goals are, what their, you know, upset about, what they're sad about. Because, you know, a lot of times you're selling a home, it's an estate, somebody has passed away,
right,
going through a divorce, or even when somebody's downsizing, you know, they raise their family in that house, and it's really hard to leave and shut the door the last time. It's hard for the kids to have their parents sell the house, so there's a lot of emotions going on there. There's just so many reasons why you sell, but it's not on purpose.
Yeah, and not only, it's also very stressful.
Extremely.
I mean, because, all right, did they accept the offer? Did they not accept the offer? All right, now I send a home inspection. Now what does that come back to look like? Mm-hmm. All right, now what's the appraisal going like? I mean, it's so stressful. Now, at the end, after everything's signed, you see the happiness usually explode out of people.
Well, yeah, and especially if they're buying the first home, mm-hmm. there's a happy time, you know, just stuff like that. The other one of them is people who relocate, and we have a lot of people relocate to our area from out of state, out of the country, and that's a very stressful time, and many times the wife has moved before the husband, you know, the families are separated, and she's dealing with a lot, or vice versa, if the wife was the one that was relocated. So what I find is just being able to sit and listen and just kind of set expectations of what is going to happen. Because if you don't sit down with them in the beginning and just tell them, here's what's going to be happening, what to expect throughout the entire process, when the inspection period comes, they're like, wait a minute, I thought we were done. Like, no, right. This is a whole nother negotiation page. You know, and then, oh, appraisal. Don't destage the house. Don't start packing up. We're still trying to sell the house. I'm like, what? I thought we got an offer. No. You know, just trying to explain to everybody what to expect so the stress level can come down. I just did a listing with a lady who was moving out of state, and she could not even think straight through what she thought was coming in front of her. And I just, you know, made a chart for her. Step one, step two, here's a person to call for this. And I'm like, do not go to four until you're done with 1 through 3. And I would just call in every day and go, okay, how did that go? And I just had to slow her down because she thought she was going to, you know, go into this with, what do I do? And I'm like, that's what I'm for,
right,
you know, to help
right.
you. I've been through it 100,000 times, you
right.
know. I'm not going to make you just do this on your own. That's what I'm for.
Yeah. Is that worse today or more prevalent today because of the shows on TV that it looks like you just go, you pick out a house, you buy it, you close on it, everything goes smooth, and there's no big deal?
Well, and we always talk about that, is HGTV our arch nemesis of telling everybody that, you know, the world. And one of the things about it is if you try to look at a show that was, you know, made for 30 minutes or an hour, they filmed it for, you know, all week, whatever. There's a lot that goes into it that people don't see us in the behind the scenes. And I say that is part of to keep your stress level down. You don't want to know the 700 phone calls I've been making and finding out that things are not going well behind, because I want to wait and see what the final answer is going to be. Then I will call you.
Right.
But I'm not going to call and bring up all the things that are going on in the background. Because first of all, you don't, you know, as a seller or a buyer, you have no control over it. I do. Or hopefully I try to.
Right.
But if you don't, there is no reason to continually tell everybody what's going on. So a lot of people think, oh, you got paid that commission, you didn't really do anything, you know, and it's hard to, I don't want to explain what I do every day, and I don't want to
right.
explain how I got you to the table, because I don't think that's important. What is important is I got you to the table the way you wanted to.
Right. You made it easy.
Yep.
I try to make it as easy as possible, as stress-free as possible, because I think, you know, everybody's like, why'd you get into real estate? And at first it was one reason, but now I'm staying in real estate because I really want to help people through real estate. I want to help them through the process. It's not easy. It's their biggest financial asset. And if they are going to have somebody who really cares, I think that it will help them immensely. And then of course, it was always nice when they tell somebody else about us, because when we get that referral that said that we helped them and they give us, you know, their son or their best friend, just, you know, that's really rewarding to us to know that they trusted us and they trusted us now with somebody else.
It really says something about you when people honor you with a referral.
Yeah, and we're basically referral. We really just really don't work with a lot of people. You know, we do get a lot of calls through Google because we have a high Google placement, but we just get a lot of phone calls from past clients and their friends.
Yeah, that's because you do a phenomenal job, and you've done a phenomenal job for a long time. So your name gets out there, and people refer people they trust.
Yeah, and you've got to trust somebody in the real estate business. You know, like I constantly say, it's your biggest financial asset. You know, $10,000 can make or break a difference in you. And so we try to make sure that they get the best deal. Negotiations through inspections is very, you know, very important. I do flip homes, so I understand the process of building and what repairs need to be done, how repairs are done, walking through a house with a buyer and pointing out issues I already know we're going to have, setting those expectations again that if you do make an offer on this house, just stuff like that. Just having a well-rounded ability in the real estate business, not just knowing how to, you know, click the button and put the listing live or opening doors. You know, I'm not a chauffeur into the house, and I'm not a person who just throws the switch on right. and your listing is live.
Yeah, that's the the basics, and even then it might not even be the basics. You do the things that make a difference. You can always tell the top agents. It's so funny when you talk to different agents, the top agents, the things that they do compared to the agents that are newer and they haven't learned all the things they need to do. And some of them will, some of them won't, because it's a lot of work.
Well, and it's just, there's a whole dynamic to the set process, and you cannot be one avenue or one, you know, just one-sided or one-sided, I should say, because there's just so many things that go into it. I used to say also when I first started was, you know, if you ask me a mortgage question, I'm just going to say right out loud, you know, that's something I can pass off to the lender that can help you better. I've decided that's not the best answer right now. The best answer is, here's what I know because I have done a lot of research. The 2-1 buy down, for one thing, is learning that is a new thing today that we have to know. Just knowing how that works, starting that process and understanding how you might be able to help your buyer purchase a home or help your seller make an offer, you know, a concession. Understanding those kind of things, at least the basics, so that you can use it and help your clients better, but then turning it over. So I used to, you know, pretend like that's out of my lane. But I think we need to be in all lanes the best we can and learn as much as we can.
Yep. I mean, and this is what Rick and I get into, and we've had this conversation numerous times, is there's a difference between working with somebody who's done thousands of transactions than somebody who's done 10. I mean, if you've only done 10, you've only seen 10 situations.
Right.
If you've done thousands, there's a lot of situations that you have seen that you know how to overcome and stuff like that. Just like you're saying, look, I don't have to tell the buyer or the seller every little thing going on. Guess what? Same thing with remodeling. Like if you go walk into, you're remodeling your kitchen. Rick just did this. You walk into the middle of it. You're like, oh my gosh, what I get myself into? What's this? What's this? It's over your head. But the professionals know what they're doing.
Right. They're if you hire the right people.
If you hire the right people. Right. So that's the same type of thing. And when you were saying that, I'm like, that's what my vision goes straight to. Yep, remodel. Like you walk in and you're like, oh, this is not looking good. Wait until it's finished.
Right. There's step 1, 2, and 3. We're only in 3. We've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to go.
Right. And, you know, it's the background things that you talked about that, like, somebody says, I'm going to sell my house on my own. They don't realize all of the pieces that are put together. And I'm sorry, but they're, in my opinion, they are always better off getting with a professional real estate agent. Always. I've seen them undersell their house.
Absolutely.
I've seen them have issues where they have inspections and they don't know what to do. And it's just so many things. How do you prepare? I know you said you do. How do you prepare, or what are the most important things that you make sure a buyer or a seller that you're working with knows before they start in this process?
Sellers for sure is just to set down with them, like I said, and explain the whole process of, first of all, you're selling your house, right? So what do we need to do room by room by room to get it ready? Because I absolutely think that your house needs to be the shiny penny when it goes on the market. And that was all the way through the last 2 years and that right now as well. So you've never want to just throw it up on the market. And one of the things you can say is, I don't practice the, you know, 3 P's, and it's place it on the, you know, place it on my board, put a sign in the yard, and pray it sells. There's so much more into it. So getting them ready, making them understand the process that they need to get the house ready, you know, decluttering or whatever. And we have vendors that can help with all that kind of stuff. If you need to do some repairs right up the front, we actually do very strongly have them do say that they should do an inspection. I have 2 listings right now that, thank goodness, we did an inspection beforehand. It made us get an as-is offer and go straight to closing. It just takes that stress level away of not knowing, you know, because one of the things I say, we as you know, property owners, we don't get in our crawl space. We don't get in our attics.
Right.
And those are some of the places we find some major, major issues that can kill a deal. So if you can get that out of the, you know, out of the way, do those kind of repairs as well, or also disclose them to the buyers and let them understand what they're walking into right off the bat, so you don't have a negotiation for 2 weeks after you get the offer and then fall apart.
Yeah.
So there's many, many things to do to get them set up and ready to go. Buyers is the other thing, is just, you know, setting them down with the lender that can help them and explain what they need to understand. One of the things, obviously, we get our pre-approvals handed to us and it says, okay, they can afford a $350,000 house. Well, the question is to them, as I see the payment that they've given you, are you comfortable with the payment You know, you may not want to have that payment. So what you can afford is different than what you approve or approve for. Just little conversations like that. Because I think one of the things is not to just grab a client and go, let's go.
Right.
You know, and there's so much preparation before that offer is written.
Yeah, you have to do that to make them comfortable.
And do the best you think is going to be best for them and what they're looking for. And the question is always, what are your goals? What are you trying to attain here? And remember those goals throughout the entire process.
Right. And if somebody would like to get a hold of you, what's the best way for somebody who's listening to get a hold of you?
They can reach me on my cell phone at 317-201-2601, or you can also email me at shelly@shellywalters.com.
Okay, perfect. And after the break, we are going to continue to talk with Shelly and find out more. One of the big questions we're going to have is, you know, what is it? What are you, the rock star at? You know, what are you known for? And I'd love to hear that.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you again for joining us. I'm Rick Rittma.
And I'm Ian Arnold, and we are the Hardworking Mortgage Guys with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And if you'd like to get a hold of us, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com, and we're here with Shelly Walters. And Shelly, again, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
They can reach me on my cell easily. You can text me or call me 317-201-2601.
Perfect.
All right, and now it is time for Question of the Week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
So the question of the week is brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group, where we fit your mortgage needs to fit you. Contact us today. Get your free mortgage plan. Go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That is hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Okay, so here's the hardest question you'll be asked.
All right, go.
What was your first car?
It was a VW Beetle. It was green.
Ooh.
And I had to roll the windows down in the winter so the heat would work.
Okay, you had to roll the windows down so the heat would work.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thing to have happen to a car. But Beetles were known for their quirkiness.
Yes,
that's why everybody loved them.
Yeah, and the last time I drove it, I was on my way to my grandma's farm, and I pulled off to the side of the road and walked to the house the rest of the way. It just died.
And left it there?
I did. I never know what happened to that car. You know, I was like 17. Back in the day, I didn't know you really shouldn't do that, but I was out in the country, and I just was like, okay, it's dead. But yeah, that was really funny. It was always so hard to get the heat to work, but I rolled the window down one day, and I'm like, oh, that made it work.
that is crazy.
Well, that was a long time ago. Yeah,
but it's funny how we learn the quirks of things like that.
Right, yeah.
Even today, even the computer programs and things, we still learn the quirks of them, and that's funny.
Just keep trying and figuring out how to make it work.
Yeah, that was a great car to have for your first car. I mean, really into cars, and I'm into the high performance cars. But a Beetle, my sister had one. I mean, I know tons of people, and they still sell well. People love those.
Yeah, mine was a 68. Wish I still had it.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it sold so well, they discontinued it for a while, and then they brought it back, remade it, and then it sold humongously again.
Yeah, but it wasn't as cute as the old
ones.
No. And I think it was I think it actually outdid the Model A for the number one car.
Really?
Yeah, because they built, even though we weren't getting it, that was being sold in other countries, and that's somewhere I read that. Model A was forever, and I believe the Beetle outdid the Model A.
But can I tell you my second car that I should still have? A 1968 baby blue Camaro.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which model? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but I wish I still had that
What
car.
Did you do to that one?
Leave it on the
side of the street?
No, I sold that one when I, you know, moved on to the next car, but that car was cute.
Isn't it funny how we kind of fall in love with our cars?
Yeah. Not today, though. They're not the same today unless I go get my, you know, I love to go to Mecum. My family, we go to Mecum.
Oh, do you really?
Oh,
me
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
I go there all the time.
Yep. It's just something about just going and seeing the old classic cars.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. I love the atmosphere. I just think Mecum's a great place to go.
Yeah. And everybody's happy there, right?
Everybody's happy there. Yeah. Pretty much. It's a great place to go. So, what are you known for?
I'm really a listing specialist. Obviously, I do work with buyers, especially when they're referred to us or they're obviously buying because they're selling. So listings are what I absolutely love to do.
Perfect.
So we sell about 60 listings a year.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and you do quite a bit of buyer side too. So it's not just the listings. You do a huge volume, which is awesome.
I really love listing houses for people because there is so much that has to go into it. And I enjoy doing it. I also have a staging company, so I'm really big about staging. I love staging. But that's just really more of what my specialty is.
Okay. You seem to have an artistic eye. I'm guessing you're very artistic.
My daughter, a lot of people, you know, it's in my family, but I just enjoy, and that's where I think I'm always, you know, part of my background is being, working with photography and stuff. And one of the things is when I'm going into a listing, like I said, getting them prepared for that, I'm looking at the house through the lens of a camera.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to figure out what is it going to look like in each room online. I'm not looking at it as a person in the room today. And I think that is something that really has to be done because, you know, you're looking at it differently. But that's how the buyers are going to see
it. Yep, that's exactly right. Now, I know you do a lot of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So what all do you do and how does that work for you? How does that work for you? But how does it work for your sellers when and buyers possibly?
Well, one of the things, we do have a social media person on staff that is my daughter, Raquel, and Raquel does all of the social media for us and keeps us up. I run my own personal Facebook page, but one of the things with the personal Facebook page is I know I have something, a poster in my office that says that, you know, 90% of the people have already looked at you online before they've even made a phone call. And so they've checked all those sites out. And one of the things with our social media is just to show who we are. We, you know, we're a family team. We have fun. We are just down to earth, normal people, you know, it's not, our social media is not sell, 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 or here's my listing, here's this. It's who we are. So people can be comfortable with us. But then the marketing of the social media, for our properties, definitely do that, as well. But, there's just a lot. One of the things of training is just to do a lot of video and get a lot of information out there to help people be comfortable with you.
Yeah. So have you seen how technology has changed from
Yes.
when you first got in?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's been 14 years and been a lot of changes in that. One of the things you were talking earlier I wanted to mention is as technology changes, you as a realtor definitely have to keep up with everything that's going on. One of the things is video. It's new. It's not new, but it's something that wasn't, you know, pushed in 2008. All the photography, making sure it's professional photography, drone photography, video, anything like that. Just knowing what's available out there, and that goes through consistent training, going to the national conventions, and just learning about what's new today. One of the things I think that helps in any agent is the background of what you've gone through, and we've gone through 4 shifts so far in the market. So 2008 was the beginning of the first shift. And then throughout that time until today, we've had 4 shifts. And throughout the shifts, you just need to keep up with what's working today, get rid of what happened last year or last couple of years, and keep going forward with the new.
Right, because not everything continues to work. Some things work forever, pretty much, but other things change, and you always have to always have to do that. I started in new home sales in 1990.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've seen tons of changes, and I've been doing mortgages for over 20 years, and it's amazing the changes that happen.
Yes, and you just have to keep up with it. It is your craft. It is your business, but one of the things about the business that you're in and I'm in and we're all doing is this, everything we are doing is affecting somebody else.
Right.
You know, it's not about me, it's about them, and to just always keep that in mind.
Yeah, you always have to worry about how it's going to affect your client, and and we do this every day, so we kind of get, we have to watch ourselves so we don't get too callous to it.
Right.
Because you know, sometimes customer will ask something or they'll call the wrong person. It's like, that's not their fault. That's our fault. That's my fault. If they aren't clear on who they need to communicate with, that's my fault, not theirs.
Right.
But you can, you know, at times it's like, wow, what is going on? And then you realize it's me. I got to fix this. You know?
Well, and what I love about it is throughout this past 14 years is the amount of friends that we have made. You know, when we close a deal, we don't usually just walk away and never talk to them again. We have so many new friends that we've made, and I love meeting all the new people and seeing babies born. And, you know, yeah. I've, you know, got clients from 14 years ago that their child was 2. They're now, you know, or 4, I guess would be, graduating from high school, going to their high school graduations. And it's just, you know, it's fun to just get to know people and be a part of their lives.
Right. How do you stay in touch with those people through all this time?
Well, we do, you know, do some contacts through, you know, postcards or online or everything. But, I mean, I run into a lot of people. Okay. We do have client appreciation parties at least awesome. Twice a year, so we can see a lot of people that way. But just through just running into them, being in the same communities and running into their friends now who are, you know, being referred to us and keeping up with what's going on, seeing what they're posting on Facebook. And, you know, I'm almost, you know, always making sure I friend them on Facebook because I want to see what they're doing and, you know, seeing people get married and just every way that we possibly can, just like a friend.
Right.
So if you want to be invited to a party every, at least once a year, guess what? Buy a home from Shelly.
Sounds like twice a year.
Or twice a year.
Not once, twice.
The last one we did was a big bingo party, and it was really fun.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be fun. Yeah. It's do you have great participation? I guess you would.
We do. And the next one I think we have coming up is going to be my daughter and I are big into real crime and or just doing the kind of searches and stuff like that for, you know, scavenger hunts or stuff like that. So we're going to be hopefully trying something like that. Or we're going to do a game show type style. So we're looking into our next one.
Okay.
So are you working on your come on down?
We are just going to work on something that we have seen online. We constantly look for something fun. We don't want to just sit around a bar and have drinks, you know. Not everybody drinks and not all their kids can come.
Right.
So we try to also remember one of our client appreciation parties was when Toy Story came out, the new movie.
Okay.
Make sure that kids can be involved as well. And we had candy and popcorn and drinks for them. And just it was so fun to see, you know, people brought their grandchildren. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can involve as many people as possible.
Right.
That's so what awesome. Is one thing that you think separates you that you do differently than most other realtors?
I think, you know, we have a ton of really, really, really good agents in our area, and everybody brings something different to the table. You know, just like I think more than anything is we just do make sure that what we're doing is in the best interest of our client, listening to their goals and their needs and what they're trying to accomplish through the process and what's most important to them, and just always listening to them and preparing them and letting them understand what the process is going to be like, just being their advocate.
That's awesome.